Fantastic. Thank you. I might just grab this thing. I'll grab it and put it over here just to keep myself centered, okay? So we don't get all around the place. Hey, what an honour it is. I want to say what an honour it is to have pastors from different places in New Zealand who I've said hi to, I think, in the break. It's an honour and a privilege to have you here. Thank you. Thank you for taking the time out to be here to catch something. It's to all you pastors who have come from different parts, okay, and with your teams about. And thank you to everybody else who's taken time out to just, honestly, if you just came and sat under the ministry we've had this morning, seriously, that's all you have to do is just sit there and it'll change your world. And incidentally, Pastor Tim to me actually, that Mrs. Jessie is Andy Piggott's sister. Just thought I should let you know that. All right. I just thought that's a very valid bit of information. But thank you very much to everybody, and it's a real honour to have people who've come from different parts of New Zealand, my good friends Lloyd and Sharon Patty, and great to have, yeah, just so many of you in this house. If I start naming people, Mr. Clement, it's an honour to have you here, sir. Great man of God, served the kingdom for years. Some of you have served the kingdom for years, and one of the great things I've discovered in life is to give honour and give thanks. Probably the greatest key. I think it slips under the radar, our ability to give thanks. I am incredibly thankful to God that I'm even here, and I think I'm thankful every day for what God does do and has done in my life. Most of it's a miracle, and so it's just good to be. And thank you for just being awesome people. It was good just hanging out with people during the break. There's too many of you to hang out and get too close to, but it was good just to high-five a few people. And my very good friend, Pastor Alan Hood's here, who hang out a lot with him. Mike and Carol, it's great to have you here. Honestly, I've got to stop or I'll just say hello to everybody. But honour it is to have Cindy. Cindy, it's amazing to have you in this house. And you're awesome, girl. Had breakfast with this girl this morning and with Tim, who just never shuts up. And that was just the craziest breakfast.
Yes, it was.
Tim, Cindy, I mean, you'll back me up there. That was out there. And I think we scared the waitresses, and it was just a beautiful time. But God's good. Thank you for that session this morning. What you all need to know, because some people wonder sometimes, I mean, Tim, you went way over time, mate. Like, that was twice what you were meant to go. Yeah, twice. But what I do want to say here, sometimes you just sit and you hear a word, you know, 3 points in a poem and stuff like that, that actually does nothing on the inside. But I know that just sitting under that this morning, every one of us goes away from here enriched. There won't be one of us that doesn't do something in the supernatural in the next few weeks. In fact, I'd like to say, don't leave it, just get into it. Because you will shift atmospheres as a result of what happened this morning. And that's why somebody said to me, you know, what do you think about that he went overtime? To me, that's great because I would only honour that where it's the anointing doing it, incidentally. If it was just someone prattling on like I am now, you'd stop them. But, sorry?
I went twice as long.
Yeah, twice, but it was good, man. So what I want to say here, don't underestimate what you caught this morning. One of my big saying is, and most of you should already know this, it's better caught than taught. And we don't say that flippantly. I truly believe you catch something. See, I love sitting under stuff. I'd sit there all day. I'd get under the, every time he gives an opportunity for me to respond, I want to get that and get under it because I know for a fact that it's borne huge fruit in my life. And I am hungry for that stuff, God. I mean, I can't remember who it was now. It might have been Hamish said lean forward or something. Lean forward, get ready to catch it. So just be leaning forward and catch stuff. You know, I'm never into let's get all technical and theological. Although you were fairly theological this morning, Pastor Tim. I mean, I feel intimidated following you after your thing about you used to be an evangelist just to tell stories and give an altar call. That's pretty much what I do. So I feel really discouraged after your talk this morning. But I'm going to get over myself and have a go at reading the Bible. No, not really. But God is awesome. My favourite subject is faith. And the reason it's faith, because all of this is caught by faith. We've got two, I think those are speech marks. Anybody who's like me who thinks those ones there are, well, some of them are up the wrong way, I don't know. I'm convinced of that. But if you go and Google it, they are right, okay? And so, yes, they are. Sorry to have to say. But those are very awesome, and I want to thank who made that happen, because it's very awesome. We stand in the middle. Every word that comes out of here, I want to say this today before we pray, every word that comes off here should be a word that is like God speaking to your spirit. And I pray that we don't just put it down to what's said when we're preaching or whatever we're doing, but that the songs also carry something very powerful in our world and in our lives. And so I try to never just sit there and pick my fingers while someone's leading me into the presence of God. I want to catch what God's doing in that moment. And that's why we've got two of those there and two there. Anything that happens in this conference in the next few hours, let it be caught by us and let it be a God word into your life. You'll catch one word in this thing that'll change your life forever. One word. I've been there 1,000 times, so it's one word. You only need one word from God. Some people have had one word from God and still done nothing with it. You know? Like what Jeremy said was awesome, because let's step into it. You can have many words from God until you activate it. I just spoke to a pastor's conference in Victoria, and one of the things I did say, in fact, I spoke to them about two or three things, actually. Influence, health, and I can't remember what the other one was now, but influence and health were two very important, because we should influence every environment we're in with what we catch here. And I believe today, and I want to say this, there's people here right now that Tim gave a word this morning over some people here, and you wish that was you getting that word. Anybody here felt like that? Like, I wish it was me getting that word that was prophesying destiny over a person. And if we could have, we would have said, hey, put up your hand if you wish you were the one standing in front of them when that came. Because I believe in the impartation of the Holy Spirit, and when it's prophesied over your life, get ready for it to be activated. But you've got to do, even God can't steer a parked car. And we've got to do something with what we get. And I really want to challenge you, let's do something with what God's doing in our lives, and let's make it happen in Jesus' name. We can shift atmosphere and change. You can change your row. Whatever you're in, you can change it. I like to live by faith, walk by faith, confess faith. And so I guess some people say, you know, what's your favorite verse? I mean, the whole Bible's my favorite verse, the whole Bible. Because you can't pin it down to one verse. John 3:16 is pretty good. For God so loved. That'll change your world right there. If we can't catch that, we don't really catch anything, incidentally. If we can't get God so loved, it's a waste of time sitting here. Because that's God's spoken word to us. Is God so loved the world that he got generous. And how generous are we with our lives, our time, our enthusiasm? Never let your enthusiasm. God's living in us, in theos. If God's living in us, Tim, I'm getting a bit of this Greek stuff off you. Yeah, and God living in us has got to change atmosphere. I think we forget how big God is in our world. I think we limit ourselves. I love some of the stuff you were talking about this morning, about how we don't understand how huge God can be. Kim's getting photos of me. Hang on, this will be much better, actually. This one here, because I like to proclaim the word of God. Yeah, that's awesome, Tim. Thank you, Kim. What I'm saying is, if God is speaking to you, then it should change your environment. And it should change a whole lot of stuff that goes in line with it. My mother recently went to change her address and went to up there to check out my mansion. And my mother was incredibly dear to me and a beautiful woman. I've still got her number on my phone. I just can't get a number off my phone, because we used to ring each other on a very regular basis and just chat, and she was always such an inspiration to me. And I just haven't been able to delete that yet. I showed it to Julie the other day and made her cry. But I just wish she had an answer phone message so I could check out her voice. But anyway, I had the most amazing thing happen just 2 weeks ago, I think it was, in Australia. And they wanted me to share my testimony at this pastor's conference that I was at in Victoria. And I talked about, you know, my mother and my son were part of that, of course, as life goes on and where I've ended up and why I've ended up. And a lot of people say goofy stuff to you when people pass away or die in your life. And this young girl, there were two of them actually because they were twins, and they were from the Philippines, two young Filipino girls, young, 19 years old. But they came up to me, and this is what one of them said. Because a lot of people say goofy stuff about, you know, because we don't understand. I reckon let's get a grip on understanding death. Because there is no death. According to this book, we don't die, we live forever. Every single person you know will live forever. That's why we should get excited for God so loved the world. Anyway, and so talked about that. But not many people, you know, we get incredibly depressed over death and we lose our plot for months on end and are not able to do anything. And boy, if we just realized all it was, they just stepped through the veil out of time and into eternity. And anyway, this young girl reminded me of that because she came up to me and she said, I'm sorry to hear about your son. Has God been telling you, but she said, this is a question I want to ask you. Has God been telling you how he's doing lately? And I thought that was just incredible eternal perspective from this young girl. I think it made me cry, actually, because I thought, boy, this girl switched on. I mean, people, you know, they get sad about it, but she says, has God been telling you how he's doing lately? And I thought, wow, that's why we've got this book. And so very, very exciting. Anyway, I want to give you this verse as my verse for the day. And it's all about speak, because here it goes. You probably won't comprehend great messages from people if you take them for granted. And I think you can get very flippant with the word that's been, you know, it's like, you know, we've got Pastor Tim here, it's an honor and a privilege. We've got Pastor Cindy, I don't know if you call yourself Pastor, but we've got Cindy here, Prophetess Cindy, and that'll do. And I like to value what we're going to get from that. And value it. I want to just know. I know Tim. I know Cindy kind of, but I don't want to take for granted. You know, he tells a lot of jokes and has a lot of fun, and I think that's all a great part of it. But I want to know the heart of the man, and we need to know the heart that's speaking to us. I want the heart. I don't want just a fancy show. I want the heart of it. And I think if we can catch the heart of what God's doing in this conference, we're never the same again. None of us. Okay. And so Paul wanted to know the heart of God, because when God speaks to you, it's good to catch the heart of a God who has you at the very center of everything he wants in your life. Like, God doesn't call anybody by chance or mistake or just so happen. God calls you for a specific and strategic purpose. And I like to think that my life is on course with his purpose. And if you've been recently born again, don't underestimate that fire that gets inside you, that motivate, because you can easily lose it and become so familiar with it, you don't take notice of it any longer. Julia and I have been married for a few years now, and if I'm not careful, it's very easy. She's talking and I'm not listening. And every person who's been married more than 2 years will understand that. But it's very easy to just cruise on, and after a while I don't know that you block the voice out, but it becomes blah 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 if you're not careful. Julia. So at a conference like this called Speak, I want us to retune into God's voice through the static, through all the stuff that's going on, and just center on his voice again. Because I want to tell you, when I started out, I knew the voice of God without question. In fact, 1 week after I got born again, I went to a woman's meeting, which is a stupid thing to do. I only went there because Julia said you should come to the woman's meeting. Now I'd say, no way. although it can be an exciting place to go. Anyway, I went to the women's meeting, and I was the only guy there. I'll tell you who the speaker was, Bill Zabriskie. So there were at least two of us there. And Bill Zabriskie was a wild man for any who know him. He was just tearing the place apart. And it was, I'd only been born again a week, so it was like, to me, this is living out there, man. This dude is out there. And anyway, they wanted a table shifted, and obviously, I'm the only guy there, so I shifted the table. Then I left the meeting, and I was walking back to my car. And when I was walking back to my car, and I became incredibly aware of the voice of God. Walking back to my car, and God said to me, cross over the road and go and speak to the person in that car on the other side of the road. And I thought, that's got to be nuts. What's more, it was a Morris 1100. Why would you bother? And a car that should never have been made. And so I kept walking down the street, and this is what the Holy Spirit said to me, you don't always obey. Now, man, I reckon the lost thing, and if we're not careful, the lost thing in our generation is to be incredibly perceiving and aware of the voice of God. I'd like to pray for everybody here today that you hear the voice of God again, sharper than you've ever heard it before, and so that we can actually activate the power of his word. Because God wants to do the miraculous. We are his voice on the earth. That's why we're standing between these things. We are the voice of God in this hour. And God doesn't want us to get caught up in the stuff that's ripped us off for years. Our condemnation, our shame, our guilt. And there'll be people here right now who would even say this morning, as Pastor Tim's saying, you can be activated in this kind of power. But shame and guilt will stop us. But God set us free. When I read the Bible, he says, no more shame, no more guilt. I set you free to be a man of power or a woman of power. And so I'm walking down the street. The Holy Spirit says to me one way, he says, you don't always obey me, do you? Those are good words to hear, okay? Because if you hear that, it's a good word to hear. If it became familiar enough that you'd just, what was that, and just carry on, you've missed it. So I crossed over the road, and I was now half a kilometre away from the car, so I had to walk back toward it. You would think God would give you the next thing to say, but he doesn't give you the whole lot. He just gives you bits and pieces, okay? So I was walking toward the car, and I thank God for this day, because who would have known? And I walked up to that car that day, and I was saying, God, what am I going to say? Because I'm a new Christian. I have only been born again like a week. Walking toward the car, God, what would you say when you get there? And he never gave me nothing, so I was like a true Kiwi, and I just tapped on the window, and when she went down the window, which we had winders in those days, okay? Which is all good. Has anyone got a winder still? Unbelievable! There are still cars with winders. Anyway, she wound down the window, and I could tell then that she was in trouble, because her makeup, her, what's that stuff called, mascara, was all, looked like a vampire movie, and all down her face. And she looked up at me, and I could tell she was really broken. And I said to her simply, which after the hello, I said, looks like you've got a problem. And then she burst into tears and told me that she had just come from court and her husband had divorced her. And that he'd gone, and she felt broken. She didn't know what to do with the three daughters. And I said, I'd like to introduce you to a good friend of mine. I only met him a week ago. His name is Jesus. And there we had many tears, and she gave her life to Christ there on the side of the road. I then took her home and introduced her to Julia. Within a few weeks, we baptized her and her three children, her mother and father, and the whole family got saved. This was sort of the start of my journey. It's like, this is pretty cool hearing the voice of God. Like, let's next time, God speak next time, we're going to do it immediately, you know. But it's amazing how you become familiar, and your next time, you're not listening to God so well. Here's the end of that story, all right? Recently, my father-in-law, who Julia's dad, passed into eternity and is now in heaven celebrating with my mother and probably listening to this, and which is pretty cool. And anyway, he's there. He's there. I think he could be there because I crossed over the road. Because that girl, this is, obviously, you've got to understand, this is 30 years ago, when I got, 34 years ago, I think we've been Christians, Julia, 34 or 35 years ago. Maybe it's more. No, we've been married for 44 years married, and so 39 years we've been born again. Anyway, so little did we know that her dad would one day sell his home, and not a believer, okay? fairly anti the things of God, not really open to the things of God at all, but moved into an old folks home. And at the old folks home, guess who he was next door to? The people, the parents of the girl who led to the Lord on the side of the road. Now, see, God will prepare before you a pathway. We read all this stuff, but we underestimate the power of the future. And I want to tell you right now, I want to be so aware of that voice. I want to be aware of that voice in this season of my life. I want to know that it's going to change lives. It may not change things today, but it will in the future. That's why we've got to be obedient. That's why we just got to keep going. That's why we've got to be overcomers. We don't want to, nobody that I know likes to be going through difficulty, but we all love to sing about being an overcomer. I'm an overcomer, but we don't want to have to overcome anything to be an overcomer. But God would challenge us, let's be, we've had to overcome some serious issues. And if you'll love all the way through it, if you'll be passionate all the way through it, if you'll get under the anointing and get fired up, you can go through almost anything. And I really believe that, okay? So Paul said this, okay, here we go. He said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, and I love this stuff, I love the whole Bible to be honest with you. He said, that I may know him. Right there is an incredibly powerful word, that I want to know him, be intimate with him. I want to be close enough to him that I can literally hear his voice. Now with Julia, obviously, I can pick her voice in a crowd now. In fact, now she doesn't even have to talk, she just got to look at me. Which he probably do several times through each message I preach. But we have the intimacy going on to such a degree now that she barely has to speak, that I know what she's saying before the words come out, to be intimate. Paul wanted to be that intimate with God, and why was he so powerful that he wrote letters to the churches which he thought were going to be of... He never realized, it wasn't even until 300 or 400 years later that they began written and they became a part of what we would go by and live by today. Sadly, we're still living by the New Testament. We're not writing any new books in our own lives that will reflect. You should be able to put your name anywhere in the New Testament, and one day Don turned up, or one day Corey turned up, or one day... Oh, another Don down there. One day Don turned up and the move of God happened. Jesse rocked up and shifted the atmosphere and God began to move in power. See, I believe that God wants his word to be very real in our lives right now. It's a now season and it's a now time. So Paul says this, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Woohoo! You should have just got excited on that one. So I haven't even started preaching yet, but that's exciting enough to stop on right there. The power of his resurrection. I wonder if we really know it. I was on an aeroplane the other day, and I shouldn't tell stories because I end up telling too many stories. We never get on with it. Oh, I forgot to start my timer, so that's all right. We've still got another 40 minutes. We've still got another 40 minutes. Hallelujah. Anyway, I got an aeroplane the other day to fly to Melbourne, and you know how you always pick? I don't know if you guys do it, but you pick. I would like her to sit beside me. Be nice on the spare seat beside me. Be nice it was her. And then this guy walks down same size as Tim. And you're like, sorry. That's very horrible, I know. And you don't want him, like as much as I love this brother, don't want him sit beside me on the aeroplane. Sorry. So you pick and choose. Now, I know that was not nice, Julia. Okay? I'm forgiven. He does, see? There we go. Anyway, so what you've got to realise, I didn't want the certain people you don't want to sit beside you. And so down they were coming, I picked yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. Finally, a guy walks down the aisle and I was like, I seriously do not want you sitting beside me. He was as red as the seats are that you're sitting on, okay? And he was all sweaty, sweating like anything. And he had dirt all over him. And he came walking down the aisle, and I was like, you know, don't even look, don't do his eye contact, because he might just cruise past. But sure enough, he turned right into my exit row, just looking angry actually. And then his bag was there, and he didn't know what to do with his bag. And so he looked up, and because I've got the whole thing taken up, and so he couldn't fit them where I was. So he's looking for, and then he just got angry and threw it on the ground. And then my friend Mark, who was travelling with me, had the grace of God on him, a much nicer guy than me, a real Christian. So Mark gets up and he comes around and he says, he was actually, incidentally, I said, I'm not sitting beside you, Mark, because there'll be an opportunity on this flight. So you sit in your own seat. And so he's sitting back there. He comes up and he says, excuse me, sir, can I help you with that bag? And he grabs hold of the bag and lifts it up and put it in a locker a little way away. And then, of course, I start feeling bad. So I thought, man, I should at least introduce myself. So I leaned over and I said, how you going, mate? My name is Don. It's a privilege to sit beside you today. Your name is Simon. His name was Simon. I said, cool name, mate. Then I realised, I don't know whether I said it so nicely, because I realised right then that a pound of butter had just melted in my hand. His hand was so slippery. And then I looked at my hand and there was skin all in my hand. And I was like, my, what have I just caught? And it was all so yuck and all in my hand. And then I sort of shook it off. And then I sort of looked at him again. And I noticed his fingers were not there from there on. They were already gone, disappeared from there. And I can't remember the name of the disease, he did tell me. But he had this disease that was eating his body away, and his skin was disappearing. And that's why it wasn't dirt, it was skin all over his clothing. And he was sitting beside me. I went to the bathroom, washed my hand about 5 times, and then came back. And I said, Simon, it's an honour to meet you today. And anyway, he said, actually, I'm a Jew, which is an interesting, you know, why would you even tell me? I'm a Jew. And he said, in fact, my mother's a Jew, my father's a Jew. We're a Jewish family. We shifted from Israel and came to live in Australia and taking this flight today. And I said, man alive, you're a Jew. That's awesome. Do you know Jesus? And that was just like, I didn't mean to go getting religious on him. It was just popped out. Like, if you're a Jew, you must know Jesus. He's a Jew. And I said to him, do you know Jesus? And he said, no, actually, I'm an atheist. And you need to know that I'm a confirmed atheist. I've written books and articles on atheism. And we are totally anti-God in our family. We believe in science. And so he went on off on a whole tangent about science. And he wanted an argument. Now, here's where I come back to Paul. Paul knew the God of our salvation. And I want to tell you right now, if you know the God of your salvation, you are never intimidated by the circumstances around you. In fact, you would believe, like Paul believed, that if God lives in you, then we can literally change the atmosphere. The power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not that I've already attained or merely already perfected, but I press on to lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of for me. And I knew right there in that moment that the power of God was with me on that aeroplane. And I knew. And here's how I knew it, okay? Because we talk a lot about this power that we have, this liberty that we have. Yet many times it's locked down into very menial lifestyles. I believe God wants us to dream bigger, live bigger, act bigger, and take hold of his promises in a much bigger way. God's got huge destiny for each one of us. We were never meant to be ordinary. We're meant to be powerful in the name of Jesus. I'm talking about laying hands on the sick. I'm talking about, like Pastor Tim was doing last night, laying hands on the sick, getting them healed, delivered, and set free. I believe that's all over this place. So when Simon says to me, I'm an atheist, I thought, I'm not going to argue with you. I don't argue with anybody, basically. Why would you waste your breath? And I felt in the Holy Spirit, this is what I felt, all right? Right then I felt, God is going to totally change the atmosphere in this plane, and he can't help but get saved before we get off this aeroplane. That's what I knew. Why? Because I'm intimate with Jesus. And when you know his presence, I knew his presence immediately. I knew, hey, this is a divine appointment. God destined it that he would sit beside me. And while he's sitting there, I knew just then, God was going to give me every bit of wisdom that would unlock him from his atheistic belief. He went on about science. He went on about how creation began with a big bang, whatever. And he raved on about it. And I just sat there. And then in the end of it, I said, well, excuse me, Simon, if you'll just let me say one word. And everything stopped on that airplane. And then I just leaned over and I said, hey, Simon, I need to let you know that God loves you so much. And it was amazing. The atmosphere snapped. He began, and tears welled up in his eyes. He said this, you're the first guy who's ever showed an interest in me or continued talking to me. I have this disease. He said, it's all right, it's not contagious. but I have this disease where my skin's falling off me as I go. And he said, it's the most horrible disease. He says, I can never be normal. I know I smell, he said, but I thank you for taking the time for at least introducing yourself to me, and thank you for showing it. We were destined to love people. Why? Because we have become intimate with God. If there's ever the word that God wants to speak, is we love people, and we love them with the love of God, and we unlock them from the curse of sin.
Yes, we do.
Anyway, I said to him, so Simon, I think it's divine appointment that God caused you to sit beside me today, and that we're together here. Simon, you're in the right place at the right time. Anyway, we kept talking, and obviously I went on and on about what I said, it's amazing, Simon, your name's Simon. I said, I was reading in the Bible this morning in the book of Matthew about you. And he says, that's my second name, Matthew. And I said, well, there you go, Simon. That's it. This was meant to be. And so I said, well, here's what I was reading about you in the book of Matthew. And I said, Jesus turned to you, Simon, and I'm using him as the illustration. And I'm saying, Simon, who do you say that I am? This is what Jesus said. Simon, who do you say? And I said, this guy, Simon, just like you, Simon. He said, oh, I think you could be a scientist. I embellished it a little. Like, you could be a scientist. He said, some people say you're a prophet. Some say you're a good man. Some say you're this. Some say you're that. And I said, but Simon, who do you say I am? And I said, this is what you replied, Simon. You replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the entire atmosphere in the aeroplane shifted right there on that note. And you could feel it happen. And I knew that this guy was destined for salvation. And then, of course, we got into that. And I tell you, on a four-hour flight before we got off that plane, obviously there was a little bit of discussion happened there. Like, I'm right into Simon. We're talking about him being Simon in the Bible. And very exciting time, actually. The trip, it seemed like to me it was 8 minutes. Before we got off, I said, Simon, here's what I do believe. God can heal your disease, and can I pray for you today? And, of course, he was really broken by that, and he's crying quite a bit by now, and I prayed that God would heal him and touch him with his power. And then he said, I've never felt this before, the power of God. I mean, obviously at 58,000 feet, I think we were, 58,000 feet, they said, so we're a lot closer to God, so you'd expect him to feel something. And so, and right there, he's feeling the power of God. And I said, Simon, you know what? God loves you so much. I'm going to ask you, do you want to make him your Savior today? And before we got off that plane, Simon got born again. Hallelujah. So yeah, and so Simon, now we're emailing each other now about his next steps in God, and I believe that you and I can put into practice everything, because it's hopeless to just get an anointing on your life. I'd hate to just get an anointing on my life and just fall over with it, lay on the ground for a while and get up and stagger back into the old habits of old, the depression, the disappointment, the discouragement, and you're backing up with all these things. God wants us to go forward and make a difference. And if I can encourage you today, I believe there are mighty men and mighty women of God in here, and I tell you, there's no telling what you can do just by shifting the dynamics, by being obedient enough to the voice that we literally proclaim what he puts in our hearts. We can make a difference and change the world in Jesus' name. Now, I know my time's up, and the clock's all zeroed out and all that sort of stuff, and I never even got to this. But I want to pray for you before I go, because I want you to carry this stuff. And I want you to be incredibly powerful with the word of God. Paul goes on to let what's laid hold of me, because I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things are behind, I reach toward for those things which are ahead. I finish with that today. I don't want to just dwell on what happened yesterday. I want to challenge you today, let's be so filled with the Holy Spirit that we literally change our environment. Now, I felt on that aeroplane, this is how I felt, okay, that I could literally shift the atmosphere. And it's when Pastor Tim was speaking this morning, I felt that was in this place, an atmosphere shifting. And it's by the word of God, incidentally. It's not by the last podcast you listened to. I want to say that, okay? I really believe today there's too many people listening to podcasts and they're not into the word of God. I listen to the word. I meet people all the time. Oh, Don, they send me podcasts. Listen to this. This will change your life. No, it won't. This will change your life. And there's too many people listening to every new podcast. I'm watching them backsliding as they listen to it, actually, because they're not listening to the word, they're listening to a man's opinion. And so the word of, so if I can encourage you today, I want to leave you with these keys because I believe these are powerful keys. This is what's changed my life, all right? These are the things, and I consider myself to be fairly passionately on fire with the power of God, okay? Fairly passionately and enthusiastically expectant of what God's going to do in my near future. Best you have that word. I think you gave us a word today. I was sort of semi-conscious, but got that. And there we go. Julia would have got it. And so here's what I want to say. Number one is prayer. I find I was just with a whole bunch of pastors in Australia, and I said, I want to know how many of you start your day with a devotion. These are pastors. God, we're in trouble when like 40% of them are telling me they don't start their day with devotion. We should start our day with prayer. That's the first thing. I want to be like Paul. I want to be intimate with the voice of God. So I want to be praying. I want to be secondly into his word. I want his word to be incredibly powerful in my life. I want to be going after, intentionally going after a move of God through my actions. In other words, I can't remain silent with what God's put in me. I've got to actually give birth to the seeds of faith that are in my heart. I'm just reading a book at the moment by Chuck Yeager. I don't know if you heard him. He's the first man to break the sound barrier, okay? First man to break the sound barrier. And since he broke the sound barrier in the very first instance, and he goes into great detail of what it was like, because the people were terrified to break the sound barrier. They were afraid of what they thought when the big boom happened, the boom through the sound, that the plane would fly. Pastor Byron Graham has just entered the house. I knew there was a shift in the anointing. Hello, it's Australian anointing. Couldn't be quite that powerful. But anyway, so what he said was he broke the sound barrier in fear and trembling after 10 attempts at breaking. The plane nearly fell apart. Stuff happened that was crazy in the middle of it, but he stuck with it. On the day he broke the sound barrier, he had, I think, 6 broken ribs from a horse bucking him off, and he had broken his ribs, and he knew if he told someone they wouldn't let him pilot, but he wanted to be the first pilot to go through the sound barrier. Since then, that was like the Mark 1 first plane to go. Since then, we've broken the sound barrier many times at different. They've just now, I think it's the X10 they've got that goes at 10 times the sound speed of sound. And so here's what I want to say. I really believe this morning, and I felt it when, Tim, when you were preaching this morning, there's a word God gave to me. I don't know if he gave it to anybody else, but this is a word hot off the quotation marks, okay? Hot off between the quotation marks, God speaking, is that when you break your barriers, that God is about to take a whole lot more people through, and they're going to go to greater lengths than you've ever been to in your life. And God said to me this morning, if you'll break the barriers that are before you right now, I'm going to cause the people alongside you and beside you and around you to go through barriers that they've never been for. And get ready to see miracles like we've never seen. Get ready to see breakthrough like we've never, ever seen. We're living in a day of the supernatural and a day of miracles. And so I want to pray for people right now. We're going to stop right there. But I believe, and I want to say this right now, never underestimate where your expectations are in this, because he wanted to break that sound barrier. He had to do, even in the pain. I meet so many weak, willy-need, wishy-washy people who call themselves people of God today who haven't got the energy to actually get out of bed, who haven't got a little bit of sickness. Somebody said to me the other day, I'm scared to come out to the night meeting because I might get sick because it's too cold. My God, whatever happened to us? Let's go and let's make a start and change the world in Jesus' name, okay? I went down the beach the other day just to go down and just pray and get into God. And I'll tell you what, I thought I'd done it early, but there were surfers down there. There were people jogging down there. And I thought it could be said that they're more excited about their surfing than the jogging than we are about our God. Because really, do we get out of bed at that hour to seek the face of God and move some mountains in Jesus' name? So I just challenge you a little bit of that. I challenge you to be enthusiastic. I challenge you to be influential. And I challenge you to be healthy. Healthy. That means I want to be here for the long haul. So let's get healthy, do some stuff that will keep us on track and on course, and let's go for God and what he wants to do in our lives. Amen? So before I go one step further, Mark, pastoring at Pukekohe. Come out here right now. I really believe God. I'll tell you this. Mark, you're an awesome young man, full of passion, faith. God's about to take your faith to a whole new dimension. In fact, God's given you a seed of faith that if you will activate that faith, it's going to increase like the talents increased. And the ones you're planting right now, the seeds of faith that you're planting right now, God's already multiplying. And God says, well done, good and faithful servant, just for taking the step. Lift your hands to the Lord. There's going to be a dimension of faith that causes an explosion of faith in your life. People around you are going to catch it. People you lay hands on are going to catch it. And you're about to see a revival in Jesus' name. Anoint him right now with fire in Jesus' name. Holy Ghost, let that go on him right now. Holy Spirit, God, you are awesome. Jesus, I'm looking at the clock and I'm thinking I better stop. Yeah, Tim, you'd say it because I said that to you. Keep going. But I'm going to say this. I'm just going to walk down here for a minute. Walk down here. I'm walking here right to this brother here. Do we know each other? Come up here. I want to shake your hand, man. Come up here. Is this okay? I don't want to uncomfort anybody. I feel most uncomfortable myself most of the time, so it doesn't matter. We're joined together, okay? What is your name, man?
Jason.
I want to say this to you. You're in the right place at the right time, okay? And I believe this is a God-destined moment in your life, okay? And I believe all the things that have tried to... It's like I see you walking through life and I see 1,000 distractions. True? And even voices that'll pull you this way, that way, flipping distractions. God said, Jason, I'm pulling you into dead center. You're not going to ricochet off walls any longer. God says, I've got a plan for your life that's going to ignite you and set you on course. And I believe even right now the power of God's on you. And I believe God's shaking. Here's what's going to happen. You don't mind if I lay hands on you and pray for you? Jason, God's unlocking you from the voices of the past. They're gone in Jesus' name. And God says, right now, I'm going to allow you to hear my voice clearly. And as you hear the voice of the Lord clearly, God says, I will direct you. Now there goes the anointing. And every chain's broken. Every chain's broken. Every curse is gone. And in Jesus' name, you are free in the name of Jesus. There it goes right now. Did you feel that happen right there? The power of God's on you, Jason. Go for it in Jesus' name. Power of God's on you in Jesus' name. Father, I want to thank you right now for every person here who walks by faith. Mr. South African Andre, is it? Adrian. Adrian, that's it. I knew you had to say it a bit different. I know Tim's prophesied over you like a dozen times, but I'll tell you what, I just see on your life, I see the fire in your eyes that God's ignited in your spirit of expectation for the supernatural. And you can't live in an ordinary realm. You're like me. You can't live with ordinary. It'll bore the life out of you. But I'll tell you what, God's about to ignite faith in your heart, and you're going to see opportunity. God will give you words in the weirdest season. As you're obedient to that, there it goes right now. Power goes right through you in Jesus' name. Get ready for that to be activated in the name of Jesus. Stand to your feet if you want to be activating the Word of God. Don't have to if you don't want to. But if you want to be activating the Word of God in the next season in your life, I believe souls are going to get saved. People are going to get healed. I believe there's going to be a supernatural visitation in our generation. Don't think that God brought us this far just to be ordinary. The church is not dying. It's more alive than it's ever been. Everywhere I go, it's more alive than it's ever been. People are taking steps of faith, and in Jesus' name, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I want to be intimate with the Word of God. I want to be intimate with his voice. I want to be more intimate with the voice of God in this season than I've ever been before, actually, and I'm feeling that happen. I'm feeling it. I'm getting alongside people, and I feel God give me one word for them. And it'll be one word, it'll be a sentence, but I want to pray over people with their hands in the air right now. Father, I pray right now, let the power and anointing of your word be activated in our lives. God, I pray right now, right across this place, Lord, that every hearing voice, Lord, from whatever city we're from whatever community we're from whatever town we're from, whatever school we're from, whatever business place we're from, God, I pray over your business place. Make this intimate right now, because God's not into crowds, he's into individuals. And whatever church you're from right now, I pray that the power and anointing, God, let this not be just another conference, let this be a supernatural impartation, God, that would awaken us to hear your voice in a fresh way. God, we build a new altar today. We lay fresh stone. We pick up the burnt embers of the last altar that ever happened. We cut off the mumbled prayers of reason right now, and we release the power of a prayer that will shift an atmosphere, the prayer that will change a school, change a workplace, change a financial position, change a church in Jesus' name. And God, we see a visitation of your anointing coming again in this generation on homes, finances, businesses, and families in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody shouted.
Amen.
Come on, give the Lord a huge hand clap if you caught anything there. Thank you, Hamish.